Bismillah wa salat wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. Tonight, this is going to be our 50th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen fi Sharh al-Arba'in wa Tatimat al-Khamseen, the explanation of 50 hadith of al-Imam al-Nawwi and al-Imam ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah, with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. Tonight we're going to be looking at hadith number 44 of the 50 hadith, which is the second of the 8 hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab to the 42 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi Rahimahumullah. Before we look at tonight's hadith, we want to quickly review some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide from last week. I'm sorry. I told this young man here, those questions are going to be, we're going to answer them next week from tonight's class. What we're going to do right now are the questions that we gave out last week for last week's session. That's going to be, yani, for tonight's class. We'll answer them next week. So the first question from last week's class, questionnaire study guide number 49, is memorize hadith number 43, the first of 8 hadith related by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab. Memorize. Fadl.
And Ibn Abbas
radiallahu anhu.
Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Qala qala Rasulullah. Qala qala Rasulullah. Naam. Al-Hikum.
Hadithu fara'ida ra'ida bihbiha fama.
Yani that's Hamza Tilqat. Bi ahliha. He's an Arabic student, so you gotta get that one. Now. And some of the narration has baqiyah. In the book we have fama abqat. Now, but in some of the narration have baqiyah. Now, no problem. I see you memorize the narration from the other narration. Our narration, فَمَا أَبْقَتْ الْفَرَائِدْ فَلِي أَوْلَى رَجُلٍ ذَكَرٍ. And the other narration says, فَمَا بَقِيَ فَهُوَ. نعم. لا بس. جزاك الله خير. So this hadith is from those hadith, yani, which Al-Imam Ibn Rajab mentions because of its comprehensive nature, and that is a fundamental, yani, principle in the religion related to the matters of al-fara'id. The reason why this question is memorized is because, yani, it's a brief hadith and it's extremely important that we memorize some of these hadith. It's extremely important that we memorize some of these hadith. Question number 2, list the people mentioned in the Quran as having specific fixed shares of inheritance, that is al-irth bil-fard. Some of the people that are mentioned in the Quran as having fixed, yani, shares or portions. Now, who are the people that are mentioned in the Quran? Now,
the
wali.
The father.
Okay, the two parents. Okay, father and mother. Now.
The two grandparents.
As well. Grandparents.
The brother and sister.
Yani, in the absence of the parents. Now. Uh huh.
Brother and sister from the same father.
Brother and sister from the same.
No, from the same mother.
Okay, brother and sister from the same mother. Now,
yeah.
Somebody else help. What else?
Husband
and wife. Now, what else?
Bintan.
Yani bint wa bint al ibn. Bint wa bint al ibn. Yani the daughter and the granddaughter from the son. Yani the two spouses, the two parents, two sisters. Yani sister that is full sister and sister that is for the, yani, sister from the same father, and the. Yani two daughters, two sisters, two parents, two spouse, yani husband and wife. And the children, yani boys and girls from the same mother. Now, question number 3. What is intended by the scholars when they use the expression al-irth bita'asib? Al-irth bita'asib. What is intended by al-irth bita'asib as opposed to al-irth bil-fard? Now,
they have a right, but it's not true.
They have a right. They are from those who are rightful inheritors, but they don't have a fixed portion like the others who are mentioned, yani previously that we mentioned. Yani they don't have a fixed portion. Their portion might increase sometimes and it might decrease sometimes. It's not fixed. And sometimes they could actually be left out with nothing. At-ta'asib, naam. Question number 4, what is the dalil, evidence from the sunnah which supports al-irth bi-ta'asib? Yani what is the dalil from the sunnah that supports this idea that there are some people who are inheritors but they don't have fixed portions? Where do we get this from? Naam, fadl. From the hadith under discussion. Yani the second part of the hadith says, yani fama abqat al-fara'id fa li awla rajulin dhakarin. Jazakallahu khair. Yani whatever is remained after the those who are entitled to the those fixed portions, whatever it remains, then it's for the nearest or closest male relative of the deceased. Question number 5, list some of the people who are entitled to receive inheritance by what is called al-irth bita'asib. Yani some of the people who are entitled to receive this type of inheritance are who? Naam.
Father.
Who else?
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
Son.
Brother. And grandson. Brother.
Same parents.
Okay, brother from the same parents.
Same.
And brother.
Same.
From the same father. As far as the brother from the same mother, we already mentioned them, right? Now, so, yani, we see here that these are what? Yani, the usul and the furu and the hawashi. Yani, his father, his parents, yani, from the males, children, brothers, and so on, like this. Okay, so mostly, yani, the ta'asib is really mostly for the male side of the family who don't already have fixed portions. Question number 6. What are the 3 considerations looked at in determining who is the nearest male relative entitled to what remains? What are the 3 considerations? Now,
jihad,
daraja,
quwwa,
and quwwa. Okay, so in order to explain what they mean, yani the next question is, give one example for each of these 3 considerations looked at in determining who is the nearest male relative. So from jiha, what is an example? What do we mean by jiha? Yeah, where did they come from? Yani, is it from his usul, his parents, or from his furu, his children, or from his siblings? Yani hawashi. Yani, what is the jiha? From they came from. Yani, he came from them, or they came from him, or they his siblings. This is what meant by jiha. As far as the daraja, what is meant by daraja? What is an example of daraja? Explains what we mean by daraja. Yani to determine who's the nearest relative, their daraja, yani, or their manzila, yani the level. Naam.
The son is closer than the grandson.
Yani that the son is of a higher daraja than the grandson, because he's closer than a grandson who came after from him. Naam. And like this, yani a brother and the son of the brother, uncle, the son of the brother, and so on. This is daraja. And the last one, quwwa. What do we mean by quwwa? What is an example of quwwa? And who has a quwwa, stronger relationship than another person? The full shaqiq, brother and sister, as opposed to? Yani the one who just has the same father. Naam. Quwwa means that their relationship is stronger because they have that stronger relationship. So these are just some examples of what is intended by what do we look at to determine who is the nearest male relative that is most deserving of receiving that inheritance that remains after the obligatory portions have been distributed. Question number 7. That was question number 7. Question number 8. Discuss why the knowledge of al-mawarith or al-fara'id inheritance is so important. Why is this knowledge so important? Anybody remember? Naam. Fadl Abdul Wali had to stand up first.
It is a science that all people are in need of.
Naam, because it's knowledge, it's a science that everyone is in need of. Fadl, I'm sorry, finish.
And it is connected to death.
Okay.
And it is something that Allah has made obligatory.
And it's connected to death and something that Allah has made obligatory. And it's something that everyone is in need of. And that everyone benefits from. And it's connected to, and the reason why is because, why is everyone in need of? Because it's connected to death. And there are no people except that amongst them is death. And when death comes, then we have to know that Allah has made obligatory that certain people have rights to whatever they left behind, and in order to give people their rights and not give it to the wrong people, then we have to have some knowledge of this science. The last question is, mention two of the three fawaid or benefits which the author derived from this hadith. Two of the three benefits, the first two that he mentioned. The first of them, Naam, Talib. Father. Okay. And he mentioned that in the discussion. Or we mentioned that during the discussion. But in terms of the two things that the Shaykh mentioned as benefits from, he mentioned three benefits. And in the end of the explanation, he mentioned three things. The third one was a lengthy, detailed discussion. The first two was, Naam, Abdul Wali.
The perfection of the Sharia and its detail and containing the inheritance.
Okay, the perfection, yani this hadith is an indication, it shows from the benefits of it, it shows the perfection of the Sharia. And that it is inclusive, yani of the details, yani of, yani contains qawaid that are detailed and all inclusive, yani that include so many things. Now, and the second benefit that he mentioned?
Giving preference to the fixed portions and then what we have.
Giving preference to those who have fixed portions over everyone else, and then, if anything remains, to those who are any most deserving of it, the nearest male relatives. Okay, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at another hadith, very, very brief hadith, very important hadith. It's also, yani, from the qawaid that the Shaykh calls, yani, qawaid kulliya, ama. Yani, it's a general, all-inclusive foundation principle in the hadith, which is numbered as hadith al-rabi'u wal-arba'una, the 44th hadith, an Aisha radiyallahu anha, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, الرضاعه تحرم ما تحرم الولاده خرجه البخاري ومسلم. And on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said الرضاعه تحرم ما تحرم الولاده. And this hadith also is a hadith that is from the Jawami al-Kalim of the Prophet ﷺ, where a few words, and in this case, we can say four or five words that are completely, yani, comprehensive, in that it entails a lot of information in just a very few concise words. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ar-radha'atu," yani, that is the relationships that are based on suckling, a child that is breastfed by a woman. الرضاعه تحرم ما تحرم الولاده. الولاده, yani a woman that gives birth to a child. There's رضاعه and there's ولاده in this hadith. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that الرضاعه, the suckling relationships, prohibit whatever is prohibited by الولاده. And in the same way that a woman gives birth to a child, the relationships that are established by her giving birth to that child, his relationship to her and to her parents and her other children and her brothers and sisters and whoever is related to her, the same way that that child, those relationships are established by birth, in the same way, rada'a also establishes the relationship for the child that was fed by that woman. Yani, al-rada'a tuharrimu ma tuharrimu al-wilada. This hadith is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh, in his explanation of this hadith, he mentions three points. The first point, he gives the details of those relationships that are established by Rada'a, the suckling relationships, in detail. And the second, yani, he talks about what are the things that are necessary in order for that relationship to be established, what are its conditions. And the third point, he mentions two benefits that are derived from this hadith. And inshallah, if Allah allows, yani in the time that remains after that, we want to also discuss a little bit further some of the details of what the Shaykh has presented here, and maybe some things that he only alluded to and didn't really present. So we start, and we're reading from page 142 of the Arabic text, and as far as I know, there's no translation for this book. And the Shaykh, he mentions the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said that, yani, the suckling relationships prohibits everything or whatever is prohibited by birth, by childbirth relationships. He says, point number one, جَاءَ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ تَحْرِيمُ الْأُمَّهَاتِ الْمُرْضِعَاتِ وَالْأَخَوَاتِ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ. And it came in the Noble Quran, yani that there is a prohibition of marriage, of the mothers who have suckled a child, who have breastfed that child, who are not the birth mother, the suckling mother. The prohibition of marrying those women, and the prohibition of marrying those who would be considered his sisters due to that suckling relationship. Yani the mother who is his mother due to suckling relationship, and her daughters who would be considered his sisters from that suckling relationship. The Quran mentions specifically the woman who breastfed him and the daughters of that woman, that they are prohibited for marriage for him. And this is mentioned in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 23rd Ayah. In the context of Allah mentioning those people who are prohibited for marriage. A person's mother, his sisters, his daughters, and so on, and from amongst them is his suckling mother and her daughters. This is how it's mentioned in the Quran. Then the Shaykh says, وَجَاءَتْ السُنَّةِ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ بِأَنَّ الرَّضَاعَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا تُحَرِّمُ الْوِلَادَةِ. Then this hadith came with more details, explaining to us that whoever is prohibited due to the relationship of a woman giving birth to a child, so in the same way, the child that she breastfed, the suckling child, same prohibitions exist. The same relationships that are in childbirth are also in the suckling relationship. This came in the Sunnah, in this hadith, and in other hadith that have the same manner. And there are lots of hadith related to this particular subject. This hadith is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, and there are also several other hadith that are narrated from Aisha and other from the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a bigger topic than this one hadith, but this hadith is extremely important. The Shaykh says, therefore, as it came in the Sunnah, in this hadith, and the hadith that have similar meanings, indicating that the suckling relationships prohibit whatever is prohibited by al-wilada, birth relationships. فَكُلُّ مَا حَرُمَ بِالنَّسَبْ يَحْرُمُ بِالْوِلَادَ أو بِالْرَضَاعَ. And it says wilada, but I think it's a printing mistake. It has to be. فَكُلُّ مَا حَرُمَ بِالنَّسَبْ. So everything that is prohibited due to nasab, the blood relationship, the bloodline, person's blood relatives, يَحْرُمُ بِالْرَضَاعَ. Then مِثْلُهُ, the like of it is also prohibited by the suckling relationship. He says, so if a child suckles from a woman, is breastfed from a woman, صَارَتْ أُمَّنْ لَهُ مِنْ غَرْضَاءَ, then that woman becomes his mother, his suckling mother. That woman becomes his, like his mother, his suckling mother though. He goes on to say, وَصَارَ أَبُوهَا وَأَجْدَادُهَا أَبَاءٌ لَهُ مِنْ الرِّضَاءَ. And likewise, that woman who breastfed him, her father and her grandfathers are fathers for him, مِنْ الرِّضَاءَ. They are considered his fathers and grandfathers. Her father is considered, the father of the woman who suckled him is considered his father, مِنْ الرِّضَاءَ, مِنْ الرِّضَاءَ. And her grandfathers are considered his grandfathers. وَأُمُّهَا وَجَدَّاتُهَا أُمَّهَاتٌ لَهُ مِنَ الرَّضَاءِ. And likewise, her mother and her grandmothers are considered his mothers, mothers, grandmothers, from رَضَاءَ. So here we see that the woman herself and her father and grandparents, grandfathers, and her mother and grandmothers, that they are all, this is her usul. That's from the direction of the usul. She came from them, from her father, her mother, and so on, like this, grandparents. And then he goes on to mention the hawashi, the sibling relationships. وَإِخْوَانُهَا أَخْوَالًا لَهُ مِنَ الرِّضَاءِ. And her brothers, the brothers of the woman who breastfed him, her brothers are considered his maternal uncles. خَال, أَخْوَال, they are considered his maternal uncles. وَأَخَوَاتُهَا خَالَاتٌ لَهُ مِنَ الرُّضَاعِ. And her sisters are considered his maternal aunts. Then he goes to the usul. وَأَوْلَادُهَا. And her children, yani those who came from her, her children, سَوَاءً كَانُوا مِنَ الزَّوْجِ مِنْ زَوْجٍ وَاحِدٍ أَوْ أَزْوَاجٍ. It doesn't matter, her children, if they came from one husband or if she had more than one husband. Meaning she was married more than once. All of her children, from one husband or if she was married more than once, all of her children, from any marriage that she was in, they are considered as brothers to him, brothers from Arada. And this is important to pay attention to here, right? Because she's married to a man, and she has children from that man, and she breastfeeds this child, that man is considered her father. And her children from that man are considered his brothers and sisters. And if she was married before that, or gets married after that to somebody else, her children from that man are also his brothers and sisters. Not just the one who was married to her when she breastfed him, but anyone that she was married to. At any time, those children, her children from those people, are all his brothers and sisters. وَأَيْضًا يَكُونُ زَوْجْ الْمَرْأَى الْمُرْضِعَى الَّذِي رَضَعَ مِنْ لَبَنِهِ أَبًا لَهُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. And likewise, her husband, the husband of the woman who breastfed or suckled this child, yani the child who suckled from his milk. Whose milk? His milk. And her husband's milk. That man also is considered to be a father for the suckled child. The husband of the woman is like a father to him. Just like she's his mother from yani suckling, so also her husband is his father. وَأَبُوهُ وَأَجْدَادُهُ أَبَانْ لَهُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. And likewise, the husband of that woman, his father, and his grandfather are also considered to be fathers for him. His father and his grandfather is also considered to be fathers for him. Are we talking about who? We're talking about the husband of the woman who breastfed the child. Her husband is like a father to him, and his father and grandfathers are also fathers or grandparents, grandfathers for him. وَأُمُّهُ. And his mother. وَجَدَّاتُهُ أُمَّهَاتٌ لَهُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. And his mother, the husband of the woman who breastfed him, his mother and grandmothers are also mothers for him. وَإِخْوَانُهُ وَأَخَوَاتُهُ أَعَمَامًا وَعَمَّاتْ لَهُ مِنْ رَضَاعِ. And his brothers and his sisters, the brothers and sisters of the husband of the woman who suckled that child, that man, her husband, his brothers and sisters are also considered to be paternal and maternal, yani, uncles. His brothers, yani, and his sisters are considered to be maternal uncles and aunts from the yani rawa. وَأَوْلَادُهُ. And likewise his children, the children of the husband of the woman who breastfed the child, that man's children. مِنْ زَوْجَاتْ مُتَعَدِّدَاتْ إِخْوَةٌ لَهُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. Yani his children from various wives, however many wives he had, two or three or four. All of his children from those different wives are considered to be brothers for the suckled child. وَزَوْجَاتُهُ زَوْجَاتْ أَبٍ مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. And his wives are considered to be yani like the wives of a person's father, other than the wife that is that child's mother. Yani, in other words, a child has a father who yani his wife gave birth to him. That man may have other wives in addition to that child's mother. So all of those other wives are also considered yani to be like the wives of a person's father. The wives of a person's father. That relationship is also established. وَهَكَذَا كُلُّ مَا حَرُمَ مِنَ النَّسَبِ فَإِنَّهُ يَحْرُمْ مَا يُمَاثِلُهُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. So in this way, whatever is prohibited due to blood relationships, the same thing, the like of it is prohibited due to suckling relationships. So these details, I'm just making a note here, that these details are all contained in that one statement. That the relationships from suckling, The suckling relationships prohibit whatever is prohibited by birth relationships. That one sentence, one statement, contains all of this and more than this, which indicates, it clarifies for us what is meant by jawami al-kalim, that the Prophet ﷺ was given the ability to say a few words that have a tremendous amount of meanings. The second point the Shaykh says, is related to what are the conditions? What are the two conditions that are necessary in order for this relationship to be established as a relationship that we have to give attention to, we have to act upon? He said, الرَّضَاعُ الَّذِي يَكُونُ بِهِ التَّحْرِيمُ مَا بَلَغَ خَمْسَ رَضَعَاتٍ فَأَكْفَرُ. Yani, the suckling relationship which establishes prohibition of marriage to the people in that relationship is the suckling that reached five sucklings or more than that. The child should have suckled from that woman five times or more, at least five times. وَكَانَ فِي الْحَوْلَيْنِ. And it was, this suckling took place during the 2 years, the first 2 years of the infancy of the child. During the first 2 years. At least five sucklings, and during the first 2 years of the child's life. فَإِنْ نَقَسَ عَنْ خَمْسَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحْصُلْ بِهِ تَحْرِيمٍ. But if it was, if the child suckled from that woman, less than five times, then the prohibition is not established. كما أن الرضاع الكبير لا يحصل به التحريم. In the same way that the suckling of a grown person, a kabir, a person who is not a child, this prohibition is not established by that suckling of the grown person. وَأَمَّا, and he didn't say أَمَّا, I'm sorry, I'm saying my as far as what came in the story of the قصة السالم مولى أبي حذيفة وما جاء في قصة السالم مولى أبي حذيفة رضي الله عنهم أخرجه مسلم حديث number 1453 فهو مقصور عليه لا يتعداه إلى غيره. And the Shaykh is saying here, but if somebody is thinking about what about the story of Salim, the مولى of أبي حذيفة, he says as far as that incident of Salim, the Mawla of Abi Hudhayfa, which is reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, he said it is maqsooran alayhi. Yani it is limited to him. Yani as the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Shaykh Abdul Razak says in his explanation of this, of the book of his father, he says that it is hadithatul ayn. Yani it is a specific incident. It's one incident. It doesn't establish ahkam or rulings for other people in other times and other places. He said it is limited to him and it doesn't go beyond him to other than him. It's not applicable to somebody else. Yani what is the qissa of Salim? If we have time, inshallah, we'll read the hadith. But in brief, it's the story of a man who was freed slave of Abi Hudhayfa, and he lived in his house, and then he grew up and he was a grown man. And there was some uneasiness or discomfort about this grown man being in his house with his wife, even though this man was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person who was known, who was singled out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn Quran from, who used to lead the people in prayer before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Quba. And amongst the people that he led in prayer was Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who he used to lead in prayer. Even though this man was of that stature and that magnitude, a person of iman and taqwa, la shak, he was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nonetheless, the human nature made the man feel uncomfortable about a grown man being in his house. When he was a little boy, that was different. Now he's a grown man. So because of that, as the story goes, the wife, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Salim is with us and now he's a grown man. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her to feed him from her milk, her breast milk. And then he will become prohibited for you. And then he will be like your son. And he who is in your house with you like normally. That's the summary of the story, and there's different narrations of it, but that's the core of it. So, the Shaykh says, as far as the story of Salim, the Mawla of Abi Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhumah, reported by Imam Muslim, it is limited to him. Yani, this is limited to this particular case and it doesn't go on. Yani, it's not extended in terms of its application to anyone other than him. And then the Shaykh says, وَمِمَّا يُوَضِّحْ أَنَّ رَضَاءَ الْكَبِيرِ لَا يُعْتَبَرُ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَحْصُلْ بِهِ التَّغْذِيَةِ أَنَّ بِإِمْكَانِ كُلِّ إِمْرَأَةٍ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّسَ مِنْ زَوْجِهَا أَنْ تَحْلِبَ فِي كَأْسٍ مِنْ ثَدْيِهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ خَمْسَ رَضَاعَاتٍ فَأَكْثَرْ ثُمَّ تَسْقِيهِ زَوْجَهَا وَهُوَ لَا يَشْعُرُ وَتَقُولُ لَهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَنَا لَا أَحِلُّ لَكَ لِأَنَّكَ ابْنِي مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ. And he said, what makes clear that the feeding, the milk, yani feeding the breast milk of a woman to a grown man is not yani given consideration. It's not applicable. It's not enforced. Yani outside of that case, that one case which took place in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, what makes clear this, since it, yani the grown man is not nourished by the milk as a child is. And that milk is the nourishment that takes care of a child and they live off it. A grown man is not nourished by that milk, he said. What makes clear this though, that this is not applicable here, is that it would be possible for any woman who wants to get free from her husband. A woman can't divorce her husband, right? If she wants to get free from him, then she would simply, yani, milk her breast, put it in a glass, yani the amount that's equal to 5 yani sucklings or more than that, give it to her husband to drink without him knowing what it is, and then after that tell him that I'm not lawful for you anymore because you are my son from Rava'ah. The Shaykh ends with this, and then he mentions 2 points from this hadith, and we'll have a little bit of discussion in time that remains. Further, he says, مِمَّا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, that which, you know, from the benefits of this hadith is, number one, كَمَالُ الشَّرِيَةِ وَاشْتِمَالُهَا عَلَى الْقَوَاعِدْ كُلِّيَّ عَامَ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Yani from the benefits of this hadith is it shows, it indicates the perfection of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is perfect. And that it is inclusive of principles, foundations, qawaid, that are all inclusive. General principles that are all inclusive. As it came in this particular hadith. Yani this is a general principle that whatever is prohibited by blood relations, by birth, then it's also prohibited by yani the suckling relationship. That's a general principle that includes a lot of issues and a lot of different things. All of them come under this general principle showing the all-inclusiveness of the Sharia and the perfection of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point he says, أَنَّ كُلَّ إِمْرَأَةٍ حَرُمَتْ مِنَ النَّسَبِ أَنَّ كُلَّ إِمْرَأَةٍ حَرُمَتْ مِنَ النَّسَبِ يَحْرُمُ مَا يُمَاثِلُهَا مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. Yani that every woman that is prohibited for marriage from any blood relations, then she's also the like of her, yani those who are similar to her also prohibited by rava, yani meaning yani the woman, the aunt, the sister, the daughter, all of those that are prohibited by blood relations, then they are prohibited likewise by foster yani suckling relationships, yani the mother from the suckling, the daughter, the sister, whatever, and so on. This is what the Shaykh says, and then I'm going to add one other point here. Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of the Shaykh, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He says, also from another perspective, this hadith also indicates Kamal Bayan al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It also indicates the perfection of the clarification in the manner in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. Yani, clarification, yani the perfection of his, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ability to make things clear. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَتَاهُ جَوَامِ الْكَلِمِ واختصر له القول اختصارا صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقول الكلمة أو الكلمتين ولكنها تستوعب المعاني الكثيرة. يعني so Shaykh Abdul Razak حفظه الله, he says that from another angle, يعني this hadith indicates the perfection of the Sharia. It also indicates the perfection of the clarification, the ability of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make things clear, and that Allah had given him comprehensive speech in which he can summarize in his speech something in a manner in which he says one word or two words, yani one statement or two statements, however it contains many, many meanings. This is the end of what the Shaykh said, and then I want to just look quickly. Yeah, we have a lot of time, inshallah. I'm going to look quickly at just a few comments from what we read last week from the explanation of Bulugh Maram by Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Sali al-Dahish. Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And in his commentary on Bulugh Maram, when this hadith came, along with a number of other hadith related to the same subject, he has a lengthy discussion. I'm going to read a little bit of it for the benefit. He doesn't begin with this, but I'm going to begin with his comments where he says, what is al-radha' al-muharram alladhi yathbutu bihi al-tahrim? Yani, what is the radha', yani the suckling that prohibits, yani, marriage and whatever, yani, where the ruling of the prohibition of marriage is established. What type of, yani, suckling is this? And he says, is it just, yani, a little short, brief suckling, or is it for a specific amount of time or a specific number of times? And it doesn't have to be, the child has to suck on the woman's breast for a long period of time, or is it a short period of time sufficient? Does he have to do it more than once? Yani, how many times? Or is once sufficient? This is the discussion that he has here. And it's a little bit lengthy, but I just want to mention it because here he mentions the three main opinions of the scholars concerning this particular issue, difference of opinion. What we read already from Sheikh Abdul Mahsin, Hafidhullah, yani, is the strongest opinion, yani, that it should be at least five sucklings. But here the Sheikh mentions, yani, some difference of opinion about it. He mentions those opinions in brief, and he mentions, yani, who held those opinions. So he says here, this issue is an issue about which there's a lot of difference of opinion amongst the scholars. And the difference of opinion is vast. So what is it that establishes the ruling of prohibition by suckling? He said some of the scholars held the opinion that the rava'a, the suckling, this is the first opinion, is established by aqallu shay'in. Yani, the least amount of the child sucking from the breast of the mother. He said this is sufficient to establish this relationship. So if a child puts his mouth to the breast of the woman, and he takes hold of it, even for a few seconds, according to the first opinion, this is sufficient to establish the ruling concerning prohibition. And all of the rulings that are connected to it, connected to suckling. And this is the opinion, or this is an opinion that is pretty, yani, open, wide open, he says, that a person will be considered as the son of a woman just by a second or two sucking on their breasts. He said this is in, and this is reported in a riwayah, in one of the narrations from Al-Imam Ahmed, it is said that he held this opinion in one of the narrations. And whoever has studied the Hanbali Madhab knows that, and you will find in the studies of the books of fiqh of Hanbali Madhab, that Imam Ahmed, there are a lot of narrations, yani, at different times that he said several different things. So this is one narration of Imam Ahmed. In fact, I won't mention him again, but there's a narration for all of the three opinions from Imam Ahmed. So I won't mention Imam Ahmed any further at this point. And here there's a narration from him on all three of the opinions. But he goes on to say, though, that it is the madhab of Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah. This first opinion is the madhab of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. And he said, if we look and we consider that this is the madhab of these great scholars, that with this alone, this establishes the ruling of suckling, that the least amount of suckling is sufficient to establish the prohibition. The second opinion, yani, is that it is not established by this small amount of suckling, but rather it is established, the prohibition is established by three suckings or sucklings. Yani, that the child has to suckle on that woman for three times. Yani, that they sucked from the woman's breast, and then they left it, and they went back again, and suckled again, and they left it, and they went back for a third time. And he said, yani, that this is the opinion of Al-Imam Dawood Al-Zahiri. Al-Imam Dawood Al-Zahiri. And he used as his proof a hadith, authentic hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's reported by Al-Imam Muslim from Aisha, also reported from Aisha radiallahu anha. لا تحرموا المصة ولا المصتان. Yani, that one sucking or two is not sufficient to establish the prohibition. The Shaykh is saying, what we understand from that, if one or two is not sufficient, then what prohibits is three. And some of the scholars rejected that understanding, but in any case, that's the basis of his opinion as he is relating it here. Yani that if one suckling or two suckling doesn't establish, then three does. The third opinion is that what establishes the prohibition from suckling is five sucklings. And whatever is less than that doesn't, yani, establish the prohibition. And again, he mentions that this is also, yani, narrated from Imam Ahmed as the first two opinions was. He says, وَلَكِنْ هُوَ مَذْهَبْ الشَّافِعِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ قَوْلِ إِبْنِ حَزْمِ الظَّاهِرِي. So this is the madhab, the third opinion, that it has to be at least five suckings. And this is the opinion of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah. And it is also the opinion of Al-Imam ibn Hazm al-Zahiri. And you may note that we said the second opinion is the opinion of Imam Dawud al-Zahiri. And he's the establisher of the madhab, the Zahiri madhab. And Ibn Hazm is one who supported it. And they differ on this particular issue. Then the Sheikh goes on to say, and I'm not going to read all this for the sake of time, but he says that these are the three most important opinions, or the three well-known opinions, and there are many other opinions, some who said seven and some who said ten, and so on. The Sheikh says that none of them have any clear, dalil or proof, to support their opinion. And he goes on to discuss this issue a little bit further, but for the sake of time, we're going to skip and go on to where the Sheikh says, in order to end this discussion concerning al-Ridha'ah, then I'm going to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentions the hadith again, that the prohibitions that are established by blood relations are also established by rida'a suckling. And then he says this means that the rulings, the ahkam, which a woman giving birth to a child established, that relationship of giving birth to a child, all of the ahkam that are established by that, the same ahkam rulings are established by rida'a. He says, for example, if a woman breastfed a child, and if a woman gave birth to a child, then that woman giving birth to the child, necessitates, indicates that she is the mother of that child that she gave birth to, and likewise, the woman who breastfed the child, also, it indicates, it necessitates that she be considered as the child's mother, but his mother from suckling. Now, then the Sheikh talks about another issue, and I don't know, in terms of the time, how much of this issue that we can discuss, but I'll just try to summarize a little bit. The Sheikh says here, another question or another masala or issue, he says that we want to discuss that's very important is, how far does this relationship go? Who does it extend to beyond the child that was suckled? And he says that there are two sides of this suckling relationship. There's the side of the child that was suckled, and there's the side of the woman that suckled him. So the side of the woman that suckled him, how far does this relationship extend? And we're going to begin with this, he says, from the side of the woman that suckled the child. Her father, the father of the woman who suckled the child, does he have a relationship with the child? He says, yes, he has a relationship with the child. And likewise, her mother, the mother of the woman who suckled the child, also has a relationship with that child. Her father is considered to be like the child's father or grandfather. And her mother, likewise, mother or grandmother, her grandmother. And also, her sisters and her children also have a relationship with this child. So he's saying here that what? That the relationship extends to her soul, her furu, and her hawashi. That her parents, her children, and her siblings, brothers and sisters, that relationship is established for all of them through the fact that she suckled this child. The child is related to all of them, the child that was suckled. So he said it goes to all three of these, all three of these directions, the parents, the children, and the siblings. And then he gives some examples of them. Examples that are crystal clear, right? Her parents, her children, her brothers and sisters. Then he says, from the other side, there also remains the jiha of the radiya, the child that was suckled. He has parents, he has brothers and sisters, and he has children. So, how does him having been suckled, how does that affect his usul, his furu, and his hawashi? How does it affect the people that he has relationships with? He said it does affect them, but it's limited. The effect on his relations are limited. And that is because it doesn't extend from the perspective of the child that was suckled to anyone other than his furu' and his children. There's no relationship that's established for his parents or his brothers or sisters due to him being suckled. It only has effect on his children. So the son of the one who was suckled, yani, the woman who suckled him is considered to be like his mother, because she's what? The mother of his father. So the child of the one who was suckled, he has a child, then the woman who suckled him is considered to be his, yani, grandmother. As far as the brother of the child that was suckled, there's no relationship established here. Yani, because this suckling relationship doesn't extend to the hawashi, to his siblings. Yani, it doesn't extend from the child that was suckled the way it extends from the woman who suckled. It extends to all of her relations, but it doesn't. It's not applicable like that to the child. So his brothers and sisters, there's no relationship established for them, and likewise his usul and his parents, in the same way, there's no relationship established for them by the fact that this child was suckled by this woman. And then he closes by saying that there's one other consideration here that we're not going to talk about now, and that is Sahib al-Laban, yani, and we did mention it from the comments of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, that is the husband of the woman who suckles the child. Yani, what is established in that relationship? Finally, we have 14 minutes remaining. Finally, I want to read a little bit, yani, concerning this same subject, yani, to bring out some of those points that we already mentioned a little bit further. I want to read from a question, and there are two benefits of this question. The first benefit is that the question came from an imam of a masjid in Jizan. The first benefit is that the imam of the masjid is asking a question to a scholar concerning suckling relationships. And he's saying that the people in his area are always coming to him because they consider him to be the best person to come to, has knowledge of fiqh. And he's saying, the imam is saying, it's not because I'm so good at this or because of my knowledge, it's just because there are so few people that have knowledge, so the people are coming to me. And he said, sometimes I give them a ruling and I'm unsure about it. The reason why I want to mention this question is because, and he's saying that I'm saying something and I'm not really sure about it. Maybe I'm saying that which is right most of the time, but sometimes I'm saying I don't know if it's right or wrong. And the Shaykh is saying to him that this is not permissible. This is not proper. Nobody should be saying anything about the deen of Allah that they're not sure about. So, yani, I won't read the whole discussion with that, but I mention it for that reason first, because it reminds us of the importance of this knowledge, that a person has to know it in order to talk about it. If you don't know it, then, yani, speaking about Allah without knowledge is haram. And Allah couples that, speaking al-qawl al-Allahi bila'il, He couples it to what? The prohibition of ash-shirk in the Quran. And He prohibits the person from doing that, and He couples that to His prohibition of people committing shirk. Shows the magnitude of speaking about Allah or the deen of Allah without knowledge. The Shaykh, after he mentions some of that discussion, Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, wal khulasa. So the summary of the affair is that the suckling that prohibits, yani, the suckling that prohibits relations, yani, that makes it haram for the person who is suckled to marry that woman or those who are related to her, he said, it is of necessity there must be two things that are met. The first of them, أن تكون الرضاعات خمس مرات فأكثر والأمر الثاني أن يكون في الحولين. Yani, these two things must be crystal clear. Number one, according to the strongest opinion, Allah knows best, there has to be at least 5 sucklings. Number two, it has to be during the first 2 years of the infancy of the child. And I want to say here, and perhaps the imam might want to make some comments before we close today, if he likes, inshallah. I want to say here that there's some difference of opinion about this particular issue. And we don't have time to discuss that difference of opinion here right now. But the opinion, the view of the majority of scholars, and the majority of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, was that that the child who suckled, that makes it this prohibition, establishes this prohibition, it has to be while they're a child, not when they're adult. And that was what Shaykh Abdul Muhsin alluded to when he said, as far as the qissatu, yani qissatuhu Salim. As far as that story of him being suckled when he was a grown man, he said that's limited to him. So the majority of scholars say it's no, yani this prohibition is not established by suckling an adult. And so, but there is some difference of opinion about it. It was the opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha that an adult can be suckled by yani a woman taking some milk from her breast and giving it to the person to drink from a cup, from a vessel. And there's also some yani opinion from later scholars who are meticulous in this yani in the Sharia, who also hold the opinion that in case of some dire need or necessity, yani there are some conditions that they discuss that it might be yani that this prohibition might be established as well. In any case, the opinion of the majority is that it has to be at least five sucklings. I mean, that's the opinion, that's the strongest opinion, and the opinion of the majority that it has to be during the first 2 years of the child's infancy. So, now, so the Shaykh, he says, so these are two conditions that are necessary, and then he goes on to say that if the child was suckled five times or more, and the child was in the first 2 years of their infancy when they were suckled, then the ahkam of rada'a are established. The rulings of rada'a are established. And then the woman who suckled him becomes his mother, and her children become his brothers, and her father becomes his grandfather, and her mother becomes his grandmother. And like this, just as yani the relationships of blood yani are yani established prohibitions, then it is the same way. And then he mentions another narration of this hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, but this narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas mentions another narration that has the exact same meaning. He says, يَحْرُمُ مِنَ الرَّضَاءَ مَا يَحْرُمُ مِنَ النَّسَبِ. And in nasab, he uses in this hadith the word nasab, yani that the things are prohibited, yani by suckling in the same way that the same things that are prohibited by blood relations. And then he says, and this is the point that I want to emphasize here, he says, وَلَا بُدِّ مِنْ مُرَاعَةِ أَن تَكُونَ الْمُرْضِعَ ثِقَةً. Yani it is a necessity that the woman who suckled the child, or who claims, who states that she suckled the child, is a necessity that she must be a person of, a reliable person of integrity. A person of integrity must be thiqa, or the one who informed us that that woman suckled somebody must be thiqa and adil. Must be a person who is of integrity and a person who is accurate in reporting or in yani conveying that the information. So the woman who suckled a child, who claims she suckled a child, who is not accurate in reporting things, or who is known to tell lies, or whatever is similar to that, due to which a person will be criticized, it is not permissible to rely upon her statement that she has suckled so and so. A woman who what? Who is not accurate in what she conveys of information, or she is known to tell lies, then her claim, her saying that I suckled so and so, we are not going to rely upon it. And similarly, in the same way, the person who conveys that information that somebody has suckled, who bears witness that this woman has suckled, they must be a person of integrity. And in this case, if they are a person of integrity, adil, and they are thiqa, then we can accept that information from one person who is thiqa. A thiqa, reliable person from the men, or a thiqa, reliable person from the woman. But we will not accept it from anyone unless they are thiqa, whether it is a man or a woman. So if somebody bears witness, testifies, yani who is thiqa, that a woman, yani if she, the woman who suckled somebody, says that she suckled somebody and she's thiqa, or somebody conveys that information, testifies on her behalf that in fact she did, and it was five times, and it was in the first 2 years of the child's life, then this is given consideration. Yani this establishes the prohibition that is yani established by suckling. And in this case, that woman who suckled becomes like his mother, and her mother becomes like his grandmother, and her children becomes like his brothers, and her husband becomes like his father, and so on. And then yani the Shaykh actually goes on to some further discussion, but yani for the sake of time, it's a little bit lengthy. I'm just going to summarize a little bit of it. He says, so it is obligatory for the person who's given a legal ruling to pay attention to these things. You need to know and to understand what are the conditions that are necessary and to pay attention to them. Then he says, yani arada requires that the child take hold of the breast of the woman, that he sucks from her milk, and then that he lets it go. And this is considered one sucking. And then he takes hold of it again, the woman's breast, and he sucks the milk from it, and he swallows that milk, and this is yani considered yani one complete suckling. If he lets it go and returns to it and sucks again from the milk, this is a second and a third, and so on until the person, until that child completes five sucklings or suckings. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي مَجْلِسْ وَعِدْ. And this there's difference of opinion about as well, and that's why I'm like noting it here. Shaykh Abdullah Aziz ibn Ibaz rahimahullah says, وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي مَجْلِسْ وَعِدْ. Even if those five suckings took place in one sitting. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي سَاعَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Even if it was during 1 hour. And likewise he said, even if it was in a period of days or in a period of times, and there's no harm in this, and all of this counts, and some scholars said no. Yani, we don't have time to discuss the details of it, that yani, it would, like one sitting, suckling from that woman, even if he suckled two or three times, that's considered as one, and it shouldn't be in one sitting, and it shouldn't be, yani, in one short period of time. And what appears to me, and Allah knows best, is that what is correct, is that child has a complete, yani, satisfying, full suckling, once, twice, three times, even if five times in one sitting, in one occasion, then it counts as five, and the rulings are established. And finally, yani, the Shaykh, when he was asked this question, the person who was presenting the question to him says, is the milk that is suckled from that woman's breast always considered to be, yani, the right of the husband and the wife? Or is it for the husband only? Because some of the scholars use the expression sa'ib al-laban, referring to the husband, that he's the one who owns that milk. The Shaykh said, no, it is for both of them. It is for both of them. It's for the man and it's for the woman, the husband and the wife. And for this reason, the brothers of the husband are considered to be the uncles, the paternal uncles of the suckled child. Yani, these relationships are not only established for the woman who suckled, but they're also established for her husband. So he said, and that man, her husband, his father, is considered to be the grandfather of the suckled child and her children, min zawjin ukhra, min zawjatin, and her, yani his children, I'm sorry, the husband, his children, wa awladuhu min zawjatin ukhra, ikhwatun lirradi' aydan min abi. So the husband of the woman who suckled, his children from another wife are also considered to be the brothers of the suckled child. Yani a woman suckles a child, she has a husband, that man has another wife. Then his children from that other woman are also considered to be the brothers of the child that was suckled by this wife. He says, because why? Because they are the children of his father, his suckling father. So this ruling is connected to the male and it's connected to the female, to the woman who suckled and the husband of that woman. So the children of the suckling mother, all of them are brothers to the suckled child, whether they are from this husband who she's married to at this moment when she suckles that child, or another husband. The Shaykh says, min zawjin sabiq aw zawjin lahiq. Yani if she had a husband before that, she was married before this man, or she gets divorced from him, or he dies, and she marries somebody after him. So her children from this man that she's married to right now, as well as her children from a previous husband, or a husband that she may be married to later, all of those children are the brothers of the suckling child. Hakadha azawj sahib. And he said, and so it is, yani, for the husband, yani, who is the owner of the milk, that his children from this woman who has suckled the child are brothers for the suckled child, and his children from other than her. From other than her. Yani, who he was married to before her, or who he may marry after her. All of them will be considered brothers of the suckled child. So as we can see, this one statement from the Prophet ﷺ, that which is prohibited by blood relations, that which is prohibited by the woman giving birth to a child, the same things are prohibited, yani in the case of the woman who suckles a child. That this one small statement is comprehensive in its many meanings that it includes, and all of this that we discuss, and pages more, are also included in that comprehensive statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, in closing, this also reminds us and encourages us to pay attention to the importance of these matters of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came in the Quran and in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is incumbent upon us to know about these things, that these are not things that should be just left, because there are people who have these relationships who may not know them. Either the people don't know them themselves, and nobody else who should be able to tell them knows them either. And that's because of the lack of attention that's given to learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمُ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Now, the seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim, and this is from that knowledge that is of the most important and extreme importance. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We have completed our time, but I do want to give an opportunity to our Imam. Before any questions, I want to give an opportunity to him, because maybe something that I said here tonight he needs to comment on. If so, we would appreciate it. And we don't compel you, but
I just have two clarification questions.
Tafadhal.
Questions? The first question, when we say sahib al-lab, we're talking about the woman, the man who the woman is married to at the time that she's married.
No. We're talking about the man who, sahib al-lab, the man that she's married to at the time that child suckles. Because he's a husband, he has the rights over that. No. Jazakallah khair.
The second one, and it's from the wording of the hadith, and it in relationship to the hadith that we just studied on inheritance.
No.
It says here, Allah tahrims, that nursing, it prohibits.
No.
But it doesn't say yu'ti. So, the ahkam that comes from Rabaa have nothing to do with inheritance.
Good, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. So, the point that he is making here is that there's a difference between the rulings, the ahkam of rada'a, and the ahkam that we have looked at previously in the previous sessions dealing with al-irth, al-mawarith, that they are not the same. The relationships that entitle a person to receive inheritance are different. They are not all the same as the relationships that are, that prohibit a person, for example, from marrying or being alone with a woman and so on, that are related to suckling. So these are two different affairs, and even though some of those relationships overlap, the rules are not the same. And so this is very important to make a note, that the relationships that we talked about in terms of who is entitled to receive inheritance are not, the rulings related to that are not the same rulings that are related to suckling. And this is really a good point. Jazakallah khair. May Allah make us to think about this and to pay attention to it. It's really important. Naam. Abdul Wali.
Does this prohibition extend to the adopted child before?
The adopted child. Okay, I don't want to go into this in too much detail, but be clear on what your question is. Does it extend to the adopted child and what adopted at birth?
Yeah.
That's not suckled or is suckled?
Well, the child's not suckled, but they fed and took care of by the...
So this relationship is established by suckling. By drinking from the mother's milk, whether directly or indirectly. In the case of the child that, for example, is not able to suckle from the mother for whatever reason, and the mother pumps that blood, that milk, and gives it to the child, that is established the relationship. But the child that's adopted, and I'm not exactly sure what the meaning of this adoption is, but I think I understand what you mean. If a person legally takes responsibility in this society, for example, for a child and raises them from childhood, then that relationship is not established. That's established by suckling, unless that child is suckled. And this creates problems, especially in that case, but more commonly, because adoption is not that common amongst Muslims in America. But more commonly is the fact that people get married to someone who already has children. And if they're girls and boys from those two relationships, in the same house, there's no relationship between them that's established just because her mother married this man or he married this girl's mother. There's no relationship established there. And the children the sons of that man or the sons of that woman and the daughters of the spouse, and they are not related. And being in the same household, growing up, that's a problem. If it's clear what I'm saying. This is a real problem that we have, because a lot of people are getting married after they already had children. And some of those children might be grown or they will grow up. And boys and girls being in the same household that have no relationship except that their mother and father is married, their mother is married to their father, or their father is married to their... That doesn't do anything for us. So this is very important that we pay attention to this. We're going to stop here, inshallah, and we're going to have some snacks. And while we're having snacks, you can ask many questions as you like, inshallah. You get to ask as many questions as you like today, after we stop the snacks. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.